Hello, I'm William Flack, and this is what I hope will be the first of a regular output of podcasts concerning legal issues. Today I'm going to be looking at the case of J.A. and others versus the London Borough of Bexley, which is a judicial review case which I recently found out about. This case involves a judicial review of a decision by the London Borough of Bexley to refuse housing and subsistence payments to a mother and three children under the Children Act 1989. The factual background was that the mother had been working and supporting her family until 2015, when she had to stop due to her immigration status as an overstayer. This meant that she had no recourse to public funds and was not able to claim benefits or obtain housing as a homeless person under Part 7 of the Housing Act 1996. It also meant that she was not allowed to rent a private property herself, even if she had the money with which to do so. She and the children were, however, entitled to be provided with accommodation and subsistence payments under the Children Act 1989 if Bexley was satisfied that they were destitute. For just over 2 years, Bexley accepted that the family were destitute and provided them with housing and subsistence payments. However, in 2017, they carried out a new assessment and decided that the mother had additional income which she had not disclosed and that the family were not destitute. They carried out a fraud investigation and in June 2018 reached a decision that the family were not destitute, the children were not therefore in need, and the family were not entitled to housing or support. Judicial review proceedings were issued and led to a two-day hearing in January 2019 and a judgment from David Casement sitting as a Deputy High Court Judge on the 1st of February. He found that the council had failed to carry out a proper assessment or investigation and that their decision was Wednesday unreasonable, so that it had to be quashed. The judgment is worth reading as it shows how an unfair and hostile assessment by a council can be challenged through attention to detail. Unfortunately, it has been very common for councils to make decisions of this kind and to hope that they can successfully defend judicial review proceedings by repeating unfounded accusations against destitute families. The political background to this case lies in the creation of the hostile environment for migrants, openly and unashamedly encouraged by David Cameron's government. This builds on the hostility of previous Labour governments, which had denied access to mainstream housing and support for migrants through the introduction of the Nationality, Immigration and Asylum Act 2002. Treaty obligations meant that the governments weren't able to deny all support to children and leave them sleeping in the street with no food, which is why accommodation and financial assistance remained available to destitute children and their families under the Children Act. The changes which have come in since 2002 have meant that hundreds of families with children who might previously have been entitled to mainstream housing and benefits have now had to seek support under the Children Act. This in turn has meant that children's services departments have been inundated by huge numbers of applications. They struggle to deal with this flood in terms of carrying out the necessary assessments, let alone providing housing and support for those families whose children were found to be in need. Unfortunately, staff in many children's services departments responded to the crisis which led to destitute families seeking assistance from them, not by speaking out about the plight of the children, but by adopting an increasingly hostile approach towards the children and their families themselves. Lewisham Council, for instance, which for a long time was one of the worst when it came to the mistreatment of destitute children, openly adopted a policy which it called robust front door. This soon led to applicants being routinely branded as fraudulent and to assessments being carried out with a view to justify the decision which had been taken to refuse assistance and to keep the front door shut. Applicants would be refused support because their accounts were considered to be plainly incredible, an expression used by Bromley in this case, see paragraph 36 of the judgment, or were accused of not cooperating with the assessment process because they were trying to hide their real comfortable incomes. The hostile approach taken by councils towards destitute children received encouragement in 2013 with the case of RMN versus Hackney, where the council had decided that they were satisfied that the children of the family were not in need for the purposes of Section 17 of the Children Act because the parents were considered to have refused to cooperate with the assessment by not answering questions. A judicial review of the decision was dismissed. Unfortunately, I understand that the case was settled and the family were housed before the decision could be appealed. The original judgment was therefore left on the books and served as a green light for councils to slam their robust front doors in the faces of applicants. All they had to do was complete an assessment report which concluded that the applicant's parents had failed to cooperate and had been dishonest. If judicial review proceedings were issued, then the council would send barristers to court who would indignantly recite allegations of of fraud and bad faith on the part of the parents. If they were lucky, a busy judge might dismiss a judicial review challenge, having considered that Parliament had intended that local authorities should assess the facts of this sort of case, and that it was not for judges to question the specialist decision-making of council staff, and that in any event, it seemed that the applicants had not cooperated with the assessment process anyway. Fortunately, in this case, the judge adopted an approach of subjecting the council's decision-making to an appropriate level of scrutiny. So, let's see what actually happened in this case. I'm not going to set out the legal framework, which is actually set out very well in the judgment, as this would take too long. I'll try and do that another time. For now, though, please just accept that in order for the family to be entitled to housing and subsistence payments, the council had to be satisfied that they were destitute after carrying out a balanced assessment and only having regard to relevant matters. In their decision, they gave 12 reasons for finding that the family weren't destitute, and these are set out in paragraph 24. They can be summarised as being 1. The mother had failed to provide timely evidence of the destitution claimed. 2. Her bank statement showed that she regularly bought non-essential items, which she would not have done if she was really destitute. 3. Despite claiming to be separated from her ex-husband and divorced, the mother had maintained a good relationship with him and he was providing support for her and her family. 4. The mother had other sources of income such as family, friends and work. The mother's challenge was based on 4 arguments which are listed at paragraph 3 of the judgment. These were 1. The council's decision was based on material errors of fact. 2. The council had failed to make sufficient inquiries and its decision was procedurally unfair. 3. The council's decision was based on a failure to take account of relevant and material considerations and based on taking into account irrelevant matters. 4. The council's decision was irrational and on the facts of the case was not one which was open to the council to take. A good example of these errors of fact and of taking irrelevant matters into account was that the council had relied on the fact that the mother owned an iPad. They also referred to her owning computers. The mother confirmed that she did have an iPad and one computer, but stressed that she had bought these before she was destitute when she was working. She said that the council had never asked her when these items were bought, but had nevertheless asserted that they were bought after she became destitute. She also pointed out that the council had failed to put a number of their concerns, such as this one, to her, so that she might have had a chance to answer them. This was the point about procedural unfairness. The mother also pointed out that the council's assertions to the effect that she was receiving financial support from her ex-husband were not based on any real evidence but just mere speculation. The council had also suggested that the family could be given accommodation by family and friends. There was no evidence for this. In response to this, the council argued that the mother was lying about her income. They argued that they did not have to prove that she was receiving income from any of the sources they maintained, but just that they were entitled to conclude that she was not destitute because she was not considered to have been full and frank during the investigation. The council did have to concede, see paragraph 36, that the mother had not even been asked about some of the things, such as the purchase of the iPad. Sadly, this incredibly unfair approach is not unusual. The old argument about the mother's account being plainly incredible was raised. The argument usually goes along the lines that the mother has been in the UK for a long time, so it is plainly incredible for her to suggest that she does not have a support network which can provide her with housing and money. In reality, I tend to find that by the time they apply to councils, destitute families have run out of people to help them and apply to the council as a last resort. The council suggested, apparently, paragraph 43, that the council's decision should be looked at in the round so as to see the overall picture. This seems to be a request not to scrutinise the decision but to look at it in an unfocused and superficial manner which might lead to a prejudiced and unsupported conclusion being reached. The judge was not prepared to abandon proper scrutiny and observed at paragraph 44 that something more than mere suspicion of or feel is required on the part of the council before drawing inferences with potentially serious consequences for a family. He went on to conclude at paragraph 48 that the council's decision was flawed for the reasons argued by the mother and that the decision was therefore quashed. This case is very encouraging. It shows that councils constantly accuse people of lying and fraud without proper evidence obtained through a fair and balanced assessment process in the hope that a judge will consider their accusations in the round and not subject them to scrutiny. I hope that judgments like this will lead to an improvement in the quality of assessments by council staff. A final word of warning here is not to think that a claimant in judicial review proceedings can run arguments such as those run here about defective decision-making and expect a judge to adopt them straight away. I suspect that a very large amount of work went into this case in terms of analysing the counsel's evidence and preparing counter-evidence and arguments to show what the actual position was. This worked so well that it almost makes it look easy to achieve such a great outcome. Based on my experience, it must have required great effort and skill on the part of the claimant's legal team to scrutinise and respond to the counsel's evidence so that the judge was obliged to find in their favour. It could easily have gone the other way if the work had not been put in and answers to the accusations were not provided.